So this chapter is very useful, because it highlighted all the important essential Dhamma that a cultivator must at least develop the understanding. If you don't understand this essential Dhamma, you can't put it into cultivation. Then apart from that, the second part is the sharing on the Heart Sutta, winning. The sharing on the six Patriya Sutta, Master Hui Ning. So this six Patriya Platform Sutta is a very important sutta. To understand Heart Sutta, you must understand the six Patriya Platform Sutta. Otherwise, you cannot share. So they are interrelated. So I will start off with part one. The first part is recapitulation and emphasis on the previous sharing or previous lesson. So a certain aspect has been repeated over here in note form. The first 1.1 section develops the 10 perfection or paramita of the Theravada tradition. So these are the 10 perfection that a bodhisattva must cultivate in order to become Sammasambuddha, and they have to perfect them all, finish them all. First one is Dana Parami, or what we call Generosity Parami. Second one is Sila Parami. Sila is morality. The third Parami is Nikama. Nikama is renunciation. So here renunciation, the meaning is very deep, not just to renounce as a monk. You must have the ability to renounce all things that are impermanent, not real, that are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Then the fourth paramita of perfection is Panya. So Panya is wisdom, then followed by Virya. Virya is another spiritual faculty. It is the spiritual zeal or spiritual tenacity or energy to cultivate, to move this direction, to learn the Dhamma, to put the Dhamma into cultivation, to realize the awakening. Then the next paramita is Kanti. Kanti is patient endurance with wisdom. Not just, they call it, you just like endure without understanding. That one is not patient. A lot of people actually try to suppress it because they think it must be done in such a manner, like the Cantonese word yan, run. So if it's without wisdom, you actually torturing yourself unnecessarily, because you go and endure and become miserable without understanding. Patient endurance here means there is wisdom behind why you must have patience, like in cultivation. You cannot rush. You must have the patience to understand that everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. When condition is still not there, things will not unfold. You have to cultivate sincerely with faith and persevere. Then don't try to know, just do. It will unfold when the condition is there. But constantly check your cultivation. Make sure you do not deviate. Make sure you are not led by delusion. You are led by genuine understanding. That's why stage one of Dhamma, Pariyatti, the learning or the teaching, is very important. If you don't learn it properly, then you cannot develop the cultivation. Because to put the teaching into cultivation, you must understand it first. If you don't have the understanding, you cannot do it. So this part is very important. Patient endurance. Then the next one is Satcha. Satcha is the perfection of truthfulness. When you have sincerity, you will speak the truth. Then this parami of such a truthfulness is very easy to develop. there is no need to lie, to try to deceive, to try to hide your whatever motive. People cannot speak the truth because they have ulterior motive. They want to lie due to certain personal selfish reason. So when you start to understand the Dhamma, you start to see how your form and mind actually stir, react, and develop the negativity of mind state or mental intention to deceive, to cheat, and to lie. There is always a selfish reason born of delusion. So check them. Why must you lie? Because the thought fear, the deluded mundane mind fear. Fear if they speak the truth, when the truth comes out, they will get into trouble. There's a certain time in life. You cannot do that. If you do that, you will get into big trouble. So in the first place, don't ever go and create condition for you to land yourself into such situation. So especially spouse, or close friend, you enter that marriage relationship because you are sincere. And when you are sincere, you trust each other. You will not lie, you will not cheat, you will not deceive. Then you can resolve everything amicably. But if you are not sincere in entering with that, into that relationship, or that marriage contract, then what will you do? Out of selfish reason, you will try to lie, cheat, deceive, and do a lot of funny things. Then when the truth cannot be covered up anymore, then what happens? When it comes out into the open, when people realize that you have not been sincere, you have been lying, then you will land yourself in a very, very serious and difficult situation, which you find very difficult to resolve. If you have the wisdom and the understanding, you won't allow yourself to get into that stage. So this aspect of truth, truthfulness, the parami of satya is very important. Then metta is of course loving kindness. Like the video I share, the three level of metta, you should develop them. True metta is just universal love. And true metta has no opposite. If your love can turn into anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, that is not love. That is poorly designed. Because you love with motive. When things go your way, when condition fulfill your needs and desire, then you love. But when condition don't fulfill, then love can become something else. And that is not metta. That's why when you have metta, the one that has the understanding and the wisdom, love is just love. You naturally, through your conscience, you will have that love that manifests naturally. Because it's a universal love. It embraces everything through an understanding. Because we are all together, the oneness nature. All is one, one is all. We are not apart from each other. So when you have that understanding, your love will pervade the whole oneness, the whole universe. There is only love. There is no negativity. All negativity of mind state comes from the thought, the mundane mind, born of delusion, ignorance, the three evils. So when you understand that, you can develop metta. Then once the wisdom is developed, you will be in the state of equanimity, which is the last parami, the last perfection, upekkha. Upekkha is equanimity of mind born of wisdom, not born of energy field, conditioned mind state, like the fourth jhana and all those things. No. This one is a free mind with wisdom. That's why it can be in a state of upekkha. And this perfection needs a lot of wisdom. You need to complete the perfection of wisdom to realize this perfection. That's why perfection of wisdom is higher up. Then the last one is Upeka. Hmm. These are the 10 perfections that the Bodhisattva who is intent to be a Sammasambuddha must cultivate and perfect them. What is it? Oh, sorry, I missed out Adhittana. Huh? Sorry, there's another perfection. Yeah, Adhittana is very important. Adhittana is a very powerful and very important perfection. If you can develop this well, you will progress very fast. You know how to apply it and use it. This perfection, my nature has perfected. That's why you know how to use it. It is very good at it and very conversant. So Adhittana is the type of aspiration or resolution that one makes. There is a self-determination. Like you make your vow, your aspiration, your Adhittana. You make use of certain type of things that you have developed, like by the power of merits, you make that Adhittana, or aspiration or vow or whatever. And sometimes by the power of truth, like the Buddha used. So by the power of truth is also very powerful. Then by the power of certain things that you have done, like what the Buddha has taught, Angulimala. Since entering the monkhood ordained, he has not violated any of the monk's precepts. So by the power of this truth, may what and what arise and happen. So the famous Angulimala Sutta comes from this one, because he was trying to help this pregnant lady who was going through a very difficult birth, because it was a bridge birth. Means the head didn't come down, so the lady was in pain. But because of his sincerity, and after the Buddha had taught him, he has the faith, and he went ahead and chant and make this Adhittana. Then both the mother and the child were safely born. That's why they say, if you want to have a good birth, you better pay respect to Angulimala. Venerable Angulimala, he's an arahant. Then invoke power merits. Okay, so we finish in 1.1. Then 1.2 is the sixth perfection or parameters of the Mahayana tradition. So the Mahayana tradition, they reduce it to six. In actual fact, for cultivation, you need a 10. But this six is a simple modified perfection. Because to the Mahayana, you have this six, you actually can complete the whole perfection. So they are quite similar, except the emphasis is slightly different. Dana parami is the same, sila parami is the same, virya parami is the same, prajna parami or wisdom parami is the same, kanti parami is the same. The only difference is samadhi. So here they use dhyan or samadhi. So their samadhi is actually not upeka, not equanimity. But when you develop samadhi, you can realize the awakening, the enlightenment and all those things. So when the wisdom arises, then upeka become a very natural consequence of that cultivation. That's why when you have all those developed, you more or less would have perfected it. Then metta also is a natural consequence of virtue. Unless you have virtue, you cannot have genuine metta. What they lack here is Adhittana. They don't know how to use this. But Adhittana is a very powerful perfection, and you need them. Then the other one that they lack is renunciation. Renunciation. So anyway, if you want to become a Sammasambuddha, my advice is you do the 10 perfection, follow the Theravada tradition. Then 1.3, words of wisdom by the Buddha extracted from the Dhammapada verses on avoiding of evil, do good, and purify the mind. They are having right views in regards to the law of karma. So these are the Dhammapada verses which are very important. They are verse 1, verse 2, verse 183, and Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. And the final verse is saying by the Buddha before his passing away, Parinibbana, his last advice. Apamadena Sampadeta, strive on with heedfulness. That is his final advice. Okay, now I will read through. Yeah? Verse 1 and 2, these are complementary verse. So verse 1, it starts with the mind. Here the mind is the mundane mind. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So you want to speak, act, and think with a wicked mind or an unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow one, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart or the oxen's cart. Verse 2, again the Buddha repeat, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So if one speak, act, and think with a pure mind or a wholesome mind, that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow one, like the shadow that never leaves him. So this Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is the twin verse, the very famous one. Since the Buddha already highlighted to us, our mind is very important. Mind is the forerunner of all things. All things start from mind. And when mind arises, everything arises. So this is very important. If mind is so powerful, you have to take care of mind. So if you don't take care of mind, you don't train this mind to be heedful, then you will have problem. Then Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course. Here you will speak and think with a heedless mind, with an untrained mind. It has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow you, as per Dhammapada verse 1. If you want to have the opposite, happy life, good life, then you should follow Dhammapada verse 2. Be heedful, train your mind, so that it can act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, a pure mind, free of the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. And then happiness will follow you, like a shadow that never leaves. So if you want to have happiness, avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Train your mind to be heedful, ever mindful, constantly meditative, so that you will be able to expect and think in the proper manner, with a wholesome mind, pure mind, that is free of the evil, so greed, hatred, and delusion. And then happiness is guaranteed. Happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. Then the next three verses, verse 21, 22, 23, on heedfulness. These are from the Appamadavagga, the Dhammapada verse on heedfulness. They are verse 21 to verse 40, 20 verses. But this first three is the most important. So the Buddha said under verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful do not die, the heedless are as if dead. So if you want to be the undying, means you will never die, means you realize enlightenment and liberate from birth and death, then you have to train your mind to be heedful, because only the heedful does not die. So heedfulness is the path to the deathless. You can realize the enlightenment, the deathless element, if you are heedful, and you are destined for enlightenment. Whereas if you are heedless, it will lead to death. The heedless are as if dead. And spiritually, you don't stand a chance. Spiritually, you are as if dead. So it's very clear, the heedful do not die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So don't be heedless, otherwise spiritually you are as if dead. You don't have life. Verse 22 confirm verse 21. He said, distinctly understanding the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise one will intend on heedfulness, and by doing so, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas or the enlightened. So you intend to train your mind to be heedful, you are destined for enlightenment because you will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas or the enlightened. Then verse 23, the constantly meditative, the ever mindful, and this is what heedfulness is all about. And the steadfast one, if you hold on to these two types of cultivation, the steadfast one, they will realize the born-free supreme Nibbana. So this verse 23 confirms the moment you are heedful means you are constantly meditative and ever mindful. That's why heedfulness consists of two components. First, you train your mind to be aware or mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. That's why constantly meditative, ever mindful. You hold on to these two cultivation steadfastly, then you will realize the born-free Nibbana. So the Buddha confirmed for you that you are destined for enlightenment. You will realize the enlightenment state of Nibbana. Then 1.4, the Buddha's advice before his parinibbana. This is the most important advice. The Buddha told the monk, Apamadena Sampadeta, strive on with heedfulness. See the importance of heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are already home, destined for enlightenment. So not that difficult. Right? You only have to develop the faith, sincerity, and persevere to cultivate, to develop this heedfulness. To do that, train your mind to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful, and use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Finish. You are already heedful. Yeah. But constantly meditative means whole day in the state of mindfulness, means daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, ever mindful, cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. That is the mind state that you need to develop while you are under training. I remember during 88 and 89. In fact, I started in 1986, 86, 87, 88. Then by the time I finished off, I think early 89, early 89, I remember, around January, my nature developed the understanding because it did this. That time I was still working as a civil engineer. And throughout the day, I am cultivating, constantly meditating, ever mindful, non-stop. And it can be done because I did it. So that time was really beautiful, marvelous. There were a lot of good conditions behind because of my past nature. And the message from Kuan Yin's nature is very important. One of the main motivating factor and one of the main great beings that help my nature. And this time, if it's not because of Kuan Yin, my disformed mind will have died at least two times. So because of Kuan Yin's nature, it survived. Then when the time came, 1986, the message came so clearly. She put a triple gem on my hand, pour it out from her vase. And she held my hand and said, you have to move fast, not much time left. Then immediately I arose from that clarity state of message that I received. And straight away, with tears in my eyes, gratitude and respect, I pay my respect and vow to follow the advice. And from that moment onward, I really went full time all out to cultivate. And really strange, because after I received that one, when I started to do that, the teacher come, the book come, the guide come, everything come, whatever I need, it just arise. Then very funny, when I received them, when I met them, I just understand. Some of them don't really teach me like the way I share and teach you all. No, I met them, most of them, I met them once in a while. Sometimes once or twice a year, or when they come by. Then I will volunteer to fetch them. Then I will listen to their sharing, teaching. I record them all and listen and listen and listen. I was very attentive. That time, my whole family also was with me. It started all in Master Shen Hong. After that, 1986, they take refuge. Then after that, Ajahn Yuen Chua came. Then later on, my second last teacher, then the guide. Then in between, there were many great monks that I met. Of course, local one also, we had Chief Reverend Belmanda. I think some of the Thai tradition, they came. Then when I visited Thailand on a number of spiritual trails, I met many, including Ajahn Mahabhawang, Long Po Tet. Ajahn Cha, I didn't manage to see him in person, but I received his book. I visited his way place. The way place was Wat Pat Phong, the northeast of Thailand. Then Wat Pat Nanachat. So we had some beautiful spiritual trip. That was in the year. That one was much later. By that time, I already had the understanding. I remember I traveled to Thailand, to China, and many parts of the world, even to Australia, New Zealand, to visit my guide, my teacher. By then, I already had my understanding. That's why during those few years, it was really beautiful. A lot of things happened. That's how I came to know that this spiritual trip helps. That's why later on I came back when I started the sharing. I remember the importance of spiritual trip, the condition and all those things. That's why I willing to organize and lead. And it has been tradition for the last 15 years. Now it's 15 plus years. I came out in the year 2004 to share. 15 years after the year 1989, when my nature was ready. So all this fall into place. That's how it happened. Okay, I will read on. Note, the heedful never die, means eternal life, spiritually. The heedless are as if dead, spiritually. No chance of gaining enlightenment. So be heedful, ever mindful, constantly meditating. That's why heedfulness is most important. For sati is life. Without sati, there is no heedfulness. And with heedfulness, you are destined for enlightenment because the heedful never die.